As I always say, it's a real treat, a real privilege to be with you and to share from God's Word. Today our text is taken from Acts chapter 10. It's titled Peter and Cornelius, the Gentile. I'm sure you have seen an artist at work. My brother is an artist, and I've seen him working. And when you watch an artist at work, they start doing something, and we don't see what they're up to. You don't see what they're drawing, but you watch them draw, and then as they produce, things start to make sense, you know, and things start to come to clarity, and you start to understand. Finally, you realize, that's what actually this guy's been drawing. And I think you've seen that happen with an artist. And in this story that we are looking at today, Peter and Cornelius from the book of Acts chapter 10, we see kind of the same thing happening here. We see that Peter was slightly confused what is going on. And as the story unfolds, he's starting to understand what really was going on. And in this story, of course, the real architect, the real artist is God. He's doing the painting. And Peter and Cornelius and everybody else, actually, they're trying to make sense of what's going on. So before we go into that, let me just give a brief overview of the story, a short retelling of the story. Topher is really enjoying this. So this is from Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 48. It's a long one. I think if we just read that itself will take around 15 minutes or so. So I will not do that, but I invite you to do that in your own space and time. But this story is about Cornelius. The story opens with Cornelius. He's a Gentile. He's a centurion, which means he's in charge of 100 soldiers. And we are told in this Acts chapter 10 that he was a man of good actions. He gave alms to the poor. He helped the poor. He was considerate to the poor and the needy. And he was fearful of God, as the Bible says. And so one day he was praying. And in his prayer, he saw a vision. And in this vision, an angel told him to send for Peter, a man named Peter. And he was a bit scared in the beginning, but he realized that God was telling him to send for Peter. And so he sends his servants and tells him, give him the direction and say, okay, go and look for Peter. Because I don't know why, but God told me to look for him. So go. He just sends the servants. And so as the servants were on their way, here we are on the other hand in the town called Joppa. Here was Peter, and here he was also praying. And it was midday, he was hungry. He has been praying for a long time, I presume, and he's hungry. And as he was waiting for the food to be prepared, he also had a vision. And in his vision, he saw a large sheet on which all kinds of animals were on the sheet. And it was being lowered in front of him, and he heard a voice saying, get up, kill these animals and eat. Now, Peter was confused because on this sheet, there were all kinds of animals. There are such animals that are called clean animals and unclean animals. And as you all, I'm sure you all know, that meant that for the Jews, there were some things that you could not do. For the Jews, there were animals that you could not eat, food that you could not touch and eat. And here was the voice from heaven telling him to eat of these animals that was considered unclean. So Peter was confused and he protested, saying, oh, I've never touched this kind of unclean food. Well, how can I eat this? And in very clear voice, the voice told him, what God has made clean, do not call unclean. Very clearly, this was told to him, and this happened three times. So he's wondering what's going on. What is this vision all about? And while he was wondering, the servants who were sent by Cornelius reached his house, and again the vision told him, you know what, there are servants looking for you, do not make a fuss, do not hesitate, go with them because I've sent them. And so against all his rational thinking, Peter joined the servants and went to the house of Cornelius. And when he reached the house of Cornelius, he discovers that there's this huge group of people who have gathered in Cornelius's house to listen to him. Again, Peter doesn't understand what's going on, but okay, fine, let me preach the gospel to them. And he goes ahead and preach the gospel. And something amazing happens, which is the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles against all his expectations. You know, like he's completely blown away, completely surprised by what is going on. And then Peter finally understands what on earth is going on, what God is up to. So let's begin with this question. What is God up to? As I said, we see Peter throughout the whole process from the beginning till right, almost right up to the end. He's like tracing and trying to make sense of what God was doing. And I think this seems to be the case in largely in the book of Acts. Acts has been often called as Acts of the Apostles, right? If you look at the longer tagline of the name of the book, Acts of the Apostles, it might be helpful to understand that also as Acts of the Apostles through the Spirit. Oh, sorry, Acts of the Spirit through the Apostles, because you see that the main player is the Holy Spirit. The main player is God and moving through the apostles. And every time something happens in the Bible, it's always God who is moving ahead of the people. He's always doing something. And the disciples are left wondering, what is God up to? They're always one step behind, and God is the main player. And that seems to be the central theme in the book of Acts. So we see that this plot, this story, is neither directed by Cornelius nor by Peter. In fact, if you look closely, we find that Peter and Cornelius were almost passive recipients. They were clueless actors. Like they don't see the whole plot. They're playing their own parts to the best that they can. And Peter came to understand his role, what was going on, only at the end. So it was really God that was up to something. But what was God exactly up to? In order to understand why Peter was finding it hard to understand what is going on, we need to understand the old ways, okay? The old paradigm, let's call it the old paradigm, in which Peter was functioning. And the old ways has to do with something called dietary laws. The norms of food habits, like what is clean and unclean. In the Jewish system, there are food that's considered clean, which can be eaten, and there are food that was considered unclean, which was essentially, you know, you can't touch it, you can't eat it. If you eat of it, you become unclean. Now, we might be tempted to think in the 21st century that, oh, that's a bit petty, that's a bit much, but it has a deeper meaning. The principle has to do with the idea of clean and unclean, holy and unholy. And the principle comes from the strong teaching in the Bible that there is such a thing that is holy and there is such a thing that is unholy. And of course, if you stretch that back to the foundation, it has to do with the theology of God as holy, completely other. And so Peter understood that when he was asked to break, you know, this rule, it was threatening to break the concept of holy and unholy. So Peter felt that he was being asked something really tough, really, really serious. And he was asked to, the meaning of that, of course, is that he was asked to associate with something that he considers unholy, which is Gentiles. Which is why Peter was so confused, which is why Peter took so long to come to terms with what God was doing here. But also he comes to realize that there's something new that God was doing in this moment, and through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, of course. And this new thing that God was doing was that he was bringing forth a new, let's call it a new criteria, a criteria in which the expectation or the criteria for being made holy is not about ethnic identity, that you are Jew or you're Gentile. It's not about ritualistic categories, that whether you follow the rules, the Sabbath laws, the dietary laws, but now it's based on whether you have faith in God and you have the actions that prove that faith in God. We see that in part of the sermon that Peter gave to Cornelius, that those who have the fear of God and those who do what is right, those are the people who are accepted in this God's new community. And the important point here being that it is God who makes clean. It's not us, it's not the law, it's not anything else, but it is God who makes clean, who makes righteous. The Christian catch phrase for that is grace, right? Favor, God's favor. And that has to do not anymore with ethnic or ritualistic laws, but it has to do with our faith, our fear of God. And so to those who turn to God in faith, God makes clean. It's God who does it. God makes clean. And so this new paradigm, this new this new criteria, Peter was, it was a bit hard for Peter to understand. And we know this because even after this, in the book of Galatians, we see the same thing. It was a bit hard for him to grasp because he lived in the old paradigm all his life. But this was something new that God was up to. And as though to confirm this, at the end of the story, as we saw in the brief overview, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles. And this was the confirmation that, yeah, for sure, God, the Holy Spirit, was putting a thumbs up to what was going on and confirming it and legitimizing this new community. So it's not so much that God is abolishing holiness. Like, it's not that there's no more such thing as a holiness, or there's nothing profane, there's nothing holy, everything is holy, everything is profane. It's not a blanket cancellation of all those categories, but it's more about introduction of a new category of holiness, which is based on what God is doing. And God was doing something new. God was building a new people, a new community, and a new family, so to say. And this new community included Gentiles, people like us, actually, people who are from all over the world. This, we are included in this new community, in this new criteria, because it's not based on ethnic, or it's not based on the ritualistic practices, but it's based on the fear of God, whether we have our faith in God, whether we turn to God or not. So the ability to turn to God has been opened freely to everyone through Jesus Christ. And the invitation to be a part of God's community has been freely extended to everybody through Jesus Christ. This was what God was up to in this story. So if that is what God is up to, then what about us? I would like to turn the attention back to us and look at Peter and his participation in this story. And I'd like to talk a little bit about a contagion. Previously in Peter's paradigm, in the old paradigm, there was a sort of a contagion, right? If you touch something unclean, you become unclean. In the old paradigm, you have to be careful to not be contaminated, to not go to the wrong places, to not touch the wrong things, because your association with something wrong can compromise your blessing, or can compromise your righteousness, to use a technical word. Now that has been reversed. We see something strange going on. Now, instead of uncleanness spreading, now it's righteousness that's spreading. Now it's blessings that's spreading. And so a new kind of contagion has been introduced here. And it's the other way around, you know. So we've got Peter going to... So Peter was apprehensive to go to Cornelius' house because he knew that, he thought that by being in a Gentile's house, he would be made unclean. But now in this new paradigm, by virtue of Peter being there, the Gentiles were being made righteous. I think I understand what's going on here. There's a new kind of contagion going on. There's a new kind of blessings that's being spread by virtue of their presence. In other words, previously it used to be association with uncleanness that brings uncleanness, but now association brings cleansing, brings righteousness. I think that has some interesting implications for us as Christians and our participation in the world and in the community. Now we go into the world, like Peter, to bring the power of the Holy Spirit wherever we go, not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of the Holy Spirit living in us and residing in us. And because of that, as we go, we are that contagion, spreading God's goodness, spreading God's love wherever we go. So previously it used to be contamination or uncleanness by association. Now, by God's grace, association brings cleansing. Association brings righteousness. And again, just to re-emphasize, it's through the Holy Spirit and not because of us or not because of what we can do. It's clearly the Holy Spirit that's doing this, but he does it through us, just like he used Peter to bring about that kind of a contagious blessing, contagious righteousness. So the story unfolds at the end of it all. Gentiles who were considered unclean were now made clean and righteous. God has made clean, and nobody can declare that they are not clean anymore, because it is God who has made them clean. So that's what God has been up to, and that's what we are also invited to be a part of. And I would like to just close with three thoughts, I guess, three implications. First one is, just like Peter, are we being sensitive and are we seeking the move of the Holy Spirit today? And I think that's the importance of prayer, the importance of being in communion with God, to be seeking, God, what are you up to today in my life? What are you doing in my life? I want to be sensitive. I want to understand it better. Give me eyes to understand, to see what you are doing in your life. And it's not just your life. Maybe it's in our family's life, or even in the world, in your friend's life. We need to ask God to help us to be sensitive, to be running after the Holy Spirit. I love the example of surfing, even though I don't know anything about surfing. I heard that when you surf, you don't just make your own wave. You follow the wave, you look for the wave, and you go where the wave is, and then you ride the wave. In the same way, in the kingdom of God, we don't make things happen. We run after what God is doing, and then we avail ourselves in that place and in that space. In the same way, are we being sensitive to that? That's a question. First question I want to leave you with. The second is this radical acceptance that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a fundamentally radical thing that we are loved and valued in our life, regardless of who we are, regardless of what we have done. I think if you give some time and think about it, it's a crazy thing actually. We live in a world where there are standards for everything, and yet here we have this acceptance. And I don't think that I'm criticizing those standards. Those things exist for its place and for its needs. But in Christ, we are radically and fundamentally accepted. And so, second point is that we need to be always giving thanks to God for this acceptance that we have, purely out of His grace and because of our faith in Him. So give thanks for our acceptance that we have in Jesus Christ. That's number two. And number three is that same acceptance that we have in Christ is also for others. As Peter finds out, God does not play favorites. And again, how revolutionary is that? How freeing is that to us as well? That we don't have to look at one another in terms of the standards that we are expected, but we can look at others the way that God looks at others as well. And so that frees us as well again. And so do we also embody that same acceptance to others around us? So our first point, are we sensitive and are we seeking the move of God? Second point, we have the acceptance in Christ. We need to be grateful and thankful for that. And thirdly, let us also embody that same acceptance that God has shown to us in Christ. So here are just a few thoughts. What is God up to, and what can we do in response and sort of to ride the wave that God is doing in our life? And I believe that God is up to something in our life today as well. It's only a matter of us being sensitive and sort of participating in what He's already doing. So that's a few thoughts that I wanted to share with us to the fellowship today. Thank you.